Welcome to the walkthrough.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the week 14 edition of the walkthrough. I am, of course, your host, Matty Kiwum, joined by Cody Carpentier. Cody, week 14, it just made both of our faces widen up. Can't believe we're already here. What the hell's going on? How are we already in week 14?
The final week of the regular season for most people.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild to say? I had this exact thing happen, like, you know, a week ago. We did our final regular season show over in Orange Bloods, and I was like, the regular season's over? And it's like, yeah. Now we're here. It's like for fantasy, the regular season's over, and then we're going to be in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden we're going to be talking. I mean, I'm sure we're going to be talking in week 18, Maddie, because that's a big DFS week. It's the final week of the regular season of the NFL. And you're like, gosh, it's just like boom, boom, boom. Thanksgiving last week. We're back this week cooking up. I don't know what we're going to do with ourselves when it's done. Don't know. Have no idea what we're going to do with ourselves when it's all done.
This is how stir crazy I'm already getting, is I'm already starting to think I might have time in my life to do some baseball content.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm kicking that around. My buddy has a media outlet that he's created. He's grown it quite nicely, and if I got a little extra time in my hands, maybe I will talk a little Red Sox. I don't know, but the point is, you know, it feels like just yesterday that we were all getting together with the idiots to do our drafts. Then it was like, snap my fingers, a big mark of the year was going to visit you in South Carolina, because I was like, that's something on the calendar. That happened. That's already been 2 months ago. Great. Now Thanksgiving just passed, and here we are at the last week of the fantasy football regular season. I hope each and every one of you listening are either in the playoffs or strategically placing yourself where you want to be in your dynasty leagues. In my home league, Cody, number one seed is 9-4. All the way down to the fifth seed is 9-4. The sixth seed is 8-5. The seventh seed, or the first team out, is also 8-5. We are in an absolute dog race for this whole playoff thing. And I hope there's a lot of you guys out there listening that are involved in leagues like that, because I know we get caught up in the value and getting these players and winning and da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, it's we play for these type of photo finishes where you're like, holy fuck, can I pull it off? Can I win in week 14 and get the dub? So we're going to go through each and every game in the week 14 slate, getting you guys ready to win this matchup.
I will just self-own one time. I do want to self-own live on air, because I know I got some of my boys that listen. You brought up your longstanding league, how tight the playoff race is.
Yep.
This league's been going on. This is the 11th year. This is my home league with all my boys from high school. And in 11 years, so 10 years of championships, I've got three. Another guy's got four. Another guy's got two. Another guy's got one. I think that's what it is. 4-3-2-1. I believe that's what it is. This is the first year I've ever finished under 500.
Ooh.
My record, Matty Kiwum, self-owned here, because I pretty much like knew I was going to flip. I got a lot of picks now. I don't have my pick, which is the biggest blunder of the whole thing.
I don't have my pick.
But I have a couple of other – I have like a couple firsts, like three or four seconds in the next 2 years. 0-26.
Oh!
And I'm playing against this week. I'm playing against my cousin – who's 1-25. So and he's
you
like,
you guys have a last place punishment?
No. Well, we've talked about doing one, but we'd never agreed on it before the year started.
Yeah.
But he has his first pick. So he's like, you need to beat me this week so I can get Genty, because you don't have your first pick, so you can't get Genty. I'm like, listen, I can't win if I fucking try, bro. This team is in such bad. I got like Ricky Pearsall, Elijah Moore, Adonai Mitchell. That's like my starting receiving core. Kayshon Boutte's on this team. Jalen Wright, Braylon Allen. Like, it's a lot of young. Yosevash, Isaiah Likely, Pigsby, Roshan, CJ Stroud. Like, it's a young, goofy dynasty team that I'm just. I basically sold everything off 2 years ago.
You got the great reset comes for us all, my friend. It happens.
It took 10 years, but hey, we're here.
That's right. It can take forever. And you mentioned one thing, and then we'll get into the week 14 slate. Guys, stick with us. We're going to talk about each and every game in the slate. But this is what happens with Cody. I get on a hot mic. We got to yap. My league's the same way. We've been around for 12, 13 years. And there's only like four of us that have a championship. it's weird how that happens. Like, I wonder, you know, when you rate, review, leave a comment for this. Let us know. Do your leagues have the same? I feel like my long-running home league is the exact same. Even my wife and I, we were in the same league for her and all her cousins, and it's like a family league. And even that league's been now together probably, geez, like 5 or 6 years. And that league is also like two of us or three of us have a championship. It's like, what is it about the championship teams in the first 10 or 12 years of a fantasy league? It's just the winners stay winning. But anyway, we want each of you listeners to be winning, and especially winning in week 14 if you need to. So, Cody, are you ready to get into the week 14 slate?
Let's get it, baby. We got six big buys this week, a dirty Thursday night game. I'm ready to talk about this dang thing.
All right, so let's start here. Sunday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. Divisional matchup of a couple of AFC East underachievers. The 3-9 New York Jets travel down to South Beach to take on the 5-7 Dolphins. Dolphins are 6-point home favorites. Over under of 45 is the perfect meeting of this good offense and a slow paced defensive minded Jets. Let's start with Tyreek Hill, because we mentioned on this show last week after his okay performance on Thanksgiving that we were no longer giving him that top 10 status no matter what. This week, Tyreek Hill for me, wide receiver 19. Where do you have him at? Where do you have him?
This week, Tyreek Hill, I got him at wide receiver 16.
I mean,
I feel decent about it. I feel decent about it. This Jonnu Smith thing, though, that has been going on, like this guy is quietly on track to hit 1,000 yards if the back end of the season goes how it's kind of projecting right now in South Beach. But Tyreek Hill was wide receiver 11 last week. Of course, our guy Jalen Waddle regressed right back down to
wide 35.
Receiver, yeah, to wide receiver 4 territory. And, I mean, he's on pace. Speaking of being on pace, Jalen Waddle is on pace to get his season average. He's currently wide receiver 39 overall in the season in PPR. I am just praying, Maddie Kewem, that Jalen Waddle somehow gets that to wide receiver 35 overall in the season. That would make my year if that happened. But Tyreek Hill, I still think there's enough gas there. Wide receiver 12 in week 11, wide receiver 11 this past week with a number of wide receiver 20-ish weeks sprinkled in from week 5 on. So I think it 16, 19 where we have them, I think that's a good place to be.
Wide receiver 25 right now in Warp. So if you want to use that Warp tool, again, head over to southharmonff.com, click the Warp tool, join the Warp movement here, or you go to warp.life and go ahead and get signed up. But yeah, 25th overall at wide receiver for Tyreek Hill. He's been as valuable this year as guys like Jameson Williams, guys like Darnell Mooney are in similar ballparks. It's been tough sliding for Tyreek Hill. You mentioned Jonnu Smith. He's perennially going to be a start for me. If you were lucky enough to pick him up, you have a startable tight end each and every week, but I'm not going to anoint him the 20 point a game guy that he's been. I got him at tight end 7. He's always probably going to fluctuate in this range for me. Again, weekly starter, set it, forget it. He's been that good. Where do you have him this weekend? Is he just kind of in this class of put him in your tight end position and not have to worry ever again?
I put Jonnu, I bumped him up. I bumped him up to tight end 6 on the week. 12.23 PPR points per game so far this year. I mean, the guy's pulling in about 6 targets per game. I think when you look at it, he's sitting there literally a tight end 6 on the season in PPR points per game. Brock Bowers and George Kittle averaging over 16 PPR points per game. McBride at 14.8, and then 3 guys in the 12 area, and Njoku, Kelsey, and Jonnu before a break down to the next tier. So Janu's proving himself in this area. I'm going to keep him in this area.
Yeah, he's been great. Of course, there's really not much to say about Devon Achane. We're playing him every week. His role in the passing game this season has been tremendous. It's been crazy. And the fact that he's been able to stay healthy with this additional touch, with this additional role, got to fire him up each and every week. On the Jets side of things, okay, Breece, it's been up, it's been down, but you got to play him in most situations. But let's talk about the pass catchers. Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, where do you have him ranked this week? And what's your rest of the season outlook? Who's the wide receiver 1? Who's the wide receiver 2?
I'm getting to a point with these two guys that I don't really give a shit, which is so unfortunate and so random at this point. I mean, it's a tough matchup. It's a bottom 10 matchup on the Rostrich matchup tool for these receivers. We obviously know the pace of play here and the efficiency, but the difference from what the old Aaron Rodgers was on offense to what it is now. Mm-hmm. I got Devonta Adams at wide receiver 17, and I got Garrett Wilson at wide receiver 15 on the week. I do think it's going to be a tougher matchup for these guys, and I've been more lenient on the Jets. I've been more like, yeah, well, it's fine. We can play them. It's okay. We'll get there for the last month. And Garrett Wilson had that 1 week in week 9. Since then, he's wide receiver 32, 54, and 43. Devonta Adams in that same week in week 9 was wide receiver 7. Since then, 32, 30, and 17. So we just kind of need to make a bigger adjustment. Remember back in the early part of the season, we made the adjustment on like Marvin Harrison. We're like, man, it's just not it. It's just, yeah. You just can't even put this guy's name near the top 10 right now. And that's kind of how I feel about Garrett Wilson, Devonta Adams. You just can't put these guys' names near the top 10, unfortunately, because they haven't, I mean, they've proved one game together. One game they've proved that they can do it together and finish, you know, both inside. Literally one game they've both finished inside the top 30 in the same game. So
mm-hmm. I'm with you. I got Wilson at 23, Devonta Adams at 25.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move him down, to be honest with you. As I walk through that to myself, and then I'm moving them both down.
I think they have very safe floors. I think with the volume that they get and the fact that Rodgers will throw it to them on 4th and 1 from the 1 is always going to lead for touchdown possibilities. I mean, Garrett Wilson should have had a touchdown last week. He was severely overthrown. So I like their floors, but I think their ceiling is totally matchup dependent. Their boom weeks are just few and far between in this iteration of Aaron Rodgers in this offense. So use them, but I don't think that they could be the pillar of your lineup like they used to be. Hopefully you were able to pick up a Ladd McConkey in redraft at some point, or a Jacoby Myers, Jerry Jeudy, these guys who have now kind of locked themselves into the top 15, 20 each week, allows Garrett Wilson to be more of a flex play wide receiver 3 for your team. So that's the hope for you. That's what we're hoping for you and our seasonal friends out there. Let's move on to the next game. The 6-6 fraudulent Falcons head over to Minnesota to take on the 10-2 Vikings. Vikings are 6-point favorites at home, over under 46. These two teams have been perennially hitting the under lately. Good defense. Is this the game where we see an offensive bonanza, or is this a game where we see the Vikings potentially strangling out the Atlanta Falcons offense? Because last week we talked about this and it proved to be true. I even brought it up on the game plan. In games that they win, the Falcons average 30 points per game. In games that they lose, they average about 12 total points in a game. They don't project to win this game, so this could be another stink fest for the Falcons. Go wherever you want to take it on the Falcons side of the ball.
Falcons have been on a little bit of a streak here. They haven't won in a month. They haven't won since November 3rd against the Dallas Cowboys, 27-21. They lost to the Saints, scored 17, lost to the Broncos, scored 6, had a bye, and then lost to the Chargers, 13-17. So if you're doing math there, that's 36 points in the last month for the Atlanta Falcons in this great offense under Kirk Cousins, who threw 4 picks. That was last week, right? Gosh, that seems like that was like so far.
He has 6 interceptions over his last 3 games. So
that was nothing. Speaking of putrid game for Kirk Cousins awesome. Against the Chargers. But now they go up to Minnesota. It's Kirk's get back game in Minnesota. The Vikings have given up points. They have stayed stymie with defense. And the stymie games came against the Colts and Jags and Titans. They gave up points against the Bears and the Cardinals. I do think the Falcons are somewhere in between the Bears and the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I think this game is going to end up being – what's the total here? The total
46 on DraftKings.
46. I see 45.5. I think this is a easy over indoors in Minnesota. I think this game is pushed up into the 50s, 55, 56, 57, something like a 31-24 game, 31-27 game. Whoever gets 30 first is going to win this football game, whether it's Kirk or it's Sam Darnold. I think Kirk's got a lot to fight for here. I said it last week. And I'll continue to say it. Maybe it's the inner, you know, historical 30 years of Viking fandom inside of me that's just used to getting the knife twisted. But this always feels like the time of year where it happens. And they're on a 3-game home stretch here, Cardinals, Falcons, Bears. They got the Bears next week on Monday night. This is a spot with Kirk coming home that could be high emotion for a lot of people on this team because they want to get him, they want to beat him, and also for him to go back home. And he's kind of good in these spots. So I'm not going to say I'm going to pick him out right or anything like that, but I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game, back and forth. You're going to want a lot of pieces on this thing. And this, for me, is a shoot-em-if-you-got-em game. You shoot Drake, you shoot your Mooney, you shoot your Bijan Robinson. If you need that deep flex because there's 6 buys this week, you can play your Tyler Allgeier's. On the Viking side, you're playing Jones, Hockenson. Oliver looks like he's going to be playing this week. Oliver, I'm not against it. As far as my tight end rankings with Josh Oliver, I got him at tight end 617, right after Kincaid, right before Will Disley. So I think he's a playable tight end. Not saying he's high end or anything like that, but we have seen they're going to run 12 personnel a ton in Minnesota, so you can play him. Addison, Jefferson, do it. Play it. Be it. Everything in this game goes for me.
I love the call.
Kyle Pitts' name.
Well,
I probably would, man, but I just skipped on that for a reason.
No, well, you have a point, and I want to just get one thing off my chest here. If you are a Kyle Pitts apologist, if you're a hardo, get over yourself. I've been trying, you know, and I've sent out some offers to just get a share of Kyle Pitts. I don't have a lot of Kyle Pitts. I wanted to get some Kyle Pitts, and like, people just act like this dude's awesome, and I'm looking at it. You know, Pat Freiermuth's been way better than Kyle Pitts.
And Pat Freiermuth has not been great.
And Pat Freiermuth has zero appeal on the trade market right now, but yet he's been averaging more points per game than Kyle Pitts. So just need to get that off my chest. But the funny thing is, you mentioned, oh, I didn't bring up Kyle Pitts. I have one name that I needed to bring up, and it was not Kyle Pitts. Ray McLeod. So I am smoke him if you got him for this game as well. But we use something over at South Harmon called the Cuck Score, the cornerbacks under constant chaos. If you want access to that metric, you've got to join the Patreon, patreon.com/South Harmon. Get yourself in the pregame poop tier. You will get access to the Cuck Score per week. But I'll give you a little taste of it here. Darnell Mooney has a semi-tough matchup against Shaq Griffin, who's been pretty good this year. So he has the 41st highest cuck score. But Ray McLeod has a top 20 cuck score. He has a cuck score pushing 100 overall, which is a threshold for a real cuck, as we call it in the Patreon, is 90. He's almost at 100. So if you're decimated, you have been relying on Terry McLaurin and Zay Flowers and Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, and you had all these guys on bye. See if Ray McLeod's available. Ray McLeod might have a sneaky big game this week. That's the only thing that I wanted to add in that game. Let's move on. This game's less exciting, I think, than most of the games on the slate. But the New Orleans Saints take their 4-8 record up to New York City to take on the 2-10 Gigantes. Giants are 4.5-point home underdogs. The over-under of 41 is abysmal. Is there anyone outside of the obvious, the Malik Nabers, the Alvin Kamaras, in this game that you're ready to fire up?
To be honest with you, not really. Juwan Johnson is the one guy I have interest in. We talked about him on the hurdle the other night. Juwan Johnson, for me, this week comes in lower than probably you're expecting me to say, tight end 20, for a guy that I do think has top 6 upside in this offense just because of pure targets, but I can't rank in that high. It's a tough matchup against here against the Giants. We have to bet on the Saints utilizing him in different areas on the field, in the slot, out wide a little bit more, which I don't think they won't do, which means I do think they will put him out there. Yeah. I don't think they won't not do it, which means I do think they will do it. But no, it's Kamara. It's Malik Nabers. I think you could get a little sick with some Wandell Robinson if you really tickled your fancy and if you really needed to get a stick up in the middle of the day on Sunday and, you know, tickle the gooch down there. I think you could get going with some Wandell Robinson. And, of course, Tyrone Tracy. Some people think Tyrone Tracy potentially riding the doghouse, riding the pine right now for some reason because he fumbled the football. Just a reminder that Devin Singletary sucks.
He sucks. He does. He smells. I got Tracy as top 20 play, But yeah, Neighbors, I think Neighbors has a chance to have a big game if they can get him, kind of move him around the field and utilize him in kind of potential squeaky wheel game. I mean, he had some pretty critical words after the Thanksgiving game, and Brian Daboll did not challenge him. Brian Daboll basically said, like, yeah, we got to get this kid the ball early, get him going. He kind of bent the knee to the superstar rookie. So I kind of like the potential squeaky wheel game.
Is this a King Cuck score game?
If you want to talk about Malik Nabers Cuck score, it's second.
Feeding families.
He's going to feed some families this week. I think he has a big game. Top 12 guy for me this week for sure at the wide receiver position. But yeah, that's about it. I'm not really excited across the board. There's not a lot of fantasy relevant pieces here, other than the ones that we spoke about. So why don't we just keep it going? The Carolina Panthers are 3-9, but they got a lot of people excited in the way that they've been playing. But they got a big, tough, tall task ahead of them this weekend as they fly up to Philly to take on the 10-2 Eagles. Eagles are laying 12.5 points at home, but the over-under of 46 is huge. It is huge. I'm almost positive the Eagles have the highest implied Vegas total this week. I just want to get get it right. They are 29. Their implied total is damn near 30 points. So let's start at the Eagles side of things. Is it just you got them, you're playing them, or are you a little nervous about these secondary weapons like Slim Reaper's health, that thing, or are we just playing all the boys?
Well, yeah, I think if Slim Reaper plays, you got to play him. I just actually moved him into one of my starting lineups because it's starting to look better. Goddard, considered week to week with a knee. I'm anticipating he doesn't play. I think that opens the door for a Calcaterra. This is the move I'm making here. I'm assuming Goddard's out. What we know historically is, obviously, A.J. Brown's going to eat. It's usually that secondary weapon, though, outside of Saquon. So you tertiary. It would either be Goddard or Devonta Smith that eats. But yeah. Goddard's out and Devonta's in, I think Devonta eats. But if Goddard and Devonta's out, I think you're looking at Calcaterra, because they've talked about Calcaterra in a way that they believe in him. As far as weaponry there, and you know, the Johnny Wilsons of the world and the Arian Smiths and all this, no. I mean, it's either going to be if there's no Goddard and there's no Devonta, you're either going to get Super Saiyan Saquon and you're going to get this almighty AJ Brown, probably both together, or I think you're going to get some little bit of a Calcaterra in this game. So that's exactly how I would attack this. Again, like I said, no Goddard as my expectation. Calcaterra plays there. I think he's a flexible tight end, not a high end one right now. I have him ranked accordingly. I have him at tight end 11. This is a top five matchup in the tight end matchup tool against Carolina. But like I said, watch the Devonta thing. If Devonta doesn't play, Calcaterra is a top 10 play at tight end. If Devonta plays, I might lean a little bit more towards Devonta in this situation.
Yeah, my rankings reflect uncertainty because I have Smith at 32, Calcaterra at Calcaterra, however you say it, at 17. When I get resolution there, one of them is going up my rankings considerably. If Smith plays, he's going to go into the wide receiver 14, 15 range. He's going to be in that Khalil Shakir, Ladd McConkey-ish range for me. And if he is ruled out, then Grant Calcaterra is going to shoot up into the top 10 for me. He's probably going to be 10 or 11 at worst. So that's something we got to wait and see. But in terms of Jalen Hurts, Barkley, A.J. Brown, they will be in contention to be the highest point scorers at that position this week, no doubt about it.
Can I ask you a question? Are you feeling a little Brice-y this week? Like John Gruden, he feels nicey, right? You feel a little Brice-y? I feel a little Brice-y this week.
Well, talk about it. Talk about it. Let the people know why are you in Bryce Young this week. Where do you have him ranked?
I don't know. Why not? I mean, I don't have him like aggressive or anything like that, but the last 3 weeks, what he's given us is QB 16, 14, and 7. 50 dropbacks last week, 40 the week before that. He's getting back. He's completing the ball at not a great rate, 60%, 60%, 57%, but he's got Adam Thielen back. His weaponry is getting healthier. Xavier Leggett, you know, we're looking for him to take steps forward. Potentially in a game like this, you're going to need a deep shot or two. Look for it. We'll see what happens. They got the running game pretty much established with Chuba Hubbard, Jonathan Brooks getting a couple more carries per game. I like where Bryce is at. I got him here at quarterback 17. It's a tougher matchup against Philly in Philly, but I do think that a game like this, where I think Philly can get on top of these guys early, like I'm talking like 17 rip, 21-3, something like this in like the first quarter, I think that allows a little bit of the pressure to get off of Bryce. There's pressure on this. This is a big game, and they've played well the last three. I know they played the Chiefs in one of those games, but I think it takes a little bit of pressure off of the situation and allows him to play freely when they get down like that, which is kind of a backwards take there. But I do believe that that'll open it up a little bit more for Bryce to score some fantasy points and be there. I got him at quarterback 17.
So two of Bryce Young's three career games with 250-plus passing yards have come in his last two games. So that's good. We like to see the progression. I have him a little bit lower than you do, but where I see the wiggle room to get inside the top 20 is this. The Eagles defense is so secondary dependent. There's not a lot of the pass rush isn't great. I mean, Jalen Carter is fantastic. He helps destroy the run game. But the pass rush is 26th in terms of pressure rate in the NFL right now. If Young's going to have a little bit of time, then he's going to be able to dial up some plays to Leggett and to, of course, Adam Thielen, who's, you know, drank from the fountain of youth, making one-handed catches looking like vanilla Odell out there last week. So I do see there is some wiggle room for garbage time, or even just like maybe they compete in the first quarter and a half, and that leads to a touchdown pass from Bryce Young. So I am a little bit lower than you, but I do appreciate your optimism because I do see a path to him having a better game than expected. Not a startable game in one QB, but in Superflex, maybe if you were destroying your league with Lamar and Jaden, both run by, you're going to be looking for other arrangements. So I do like the call in that regard. Last thing that I will say before we move on, seasonal drafters out there, all my seasonal people, make sure Jonathan Brooks is not on that waiver wire. Make sure you pick him up. I talked about it in my video on the YouTube channel, so check that out at South Harmon FFF on YouTube. Sleepers for the playoff, Jonathan Brooks, one of them. The schedule for the Panthers is, it's magnificent for running backs. And if something were to happen to Hubbard, or if this fumble is just a precursor to getting to that 45-50% snap share for Brooks, could have some games in which he produces for us in the fantasy playoffs. So if he isn't available in your seasonal league, make sure his ass is not available and pick him up. We're going to keep this train moving. We got a bunch of games here to talk about on the Week 14 slate, so stick around. If you're loving the content here on the South Harmon YouTube channel, you gotta check out the South Harmon Podcast Network. The South Harmon Podcast Network is your one-stop destination for all things fantasy football. Everything from lineup advice and trade strategies to dynasty league domination, we've got you covered. That's right, people. It's the same host that you know and love from YouTube, bringing you deeper insights and exclusive tips you won't find anywhere else. You can find the South Harmon Podcast Network wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today and let's start getting them dubs, people. Now, back to the show. Now let's talk about, a divisional game in the black and blue division. Cleveland Browns led by Jameis Winston, the absolute man. The 3-9 Browns head to Pittsburgh to take on the 9-3 Steelers. The Steelers are 6.5-point favorites at Heinz Field. Over-under of 43.5 is expected in this division. Let's start there. Let's start with Jameis Winston, who has been an absolute monster in fantasy. If you don't know, you better get familiar. Throwing the ball 45-plus times per game. Last week, almost threw for 400 yards. It was a Cleveland Browns franchise record for a single game. It's unbelievable. They've been around forever. So Jameis Winston, is this repeatable? Is Stefanski just going to let this guy chuck? And also, talk about Stefanski. How good is he? Is Kevin Stefanski as an offensive head coach?
Why wouldn't you just let Jameis chuck that thing? It's been working. All the weaponry around him has been paying off. Even without Cedric Tillman, they obviously traded Amari Cooper 2 months ago now. No Sed Tilly. We see Judy go off. Elijah Moore's getting targeted plenty. He's pretty much unlocked David Njoku to a new level in his career, to where I think Njoku – I think in his age, gosh, Njoku's still young. I think Njoku's got to be 27, 20. He just turned 28 this year.
Njoku's tight end prime.
in a prime spot right now. Like Evan Ingram's 30, Mark Andrews is 29. Like this is Njoku's in his prime spot right now. Just got paid, I think last offseason, I think it was like a 4-year, $50 million deal. And people are like, what the hell is that? Now you're seeing why, right? Now you're seeing why guys like this get paid, because he was an athletic Adonis coming out of Miami. The weaponry around Jameis is great. And you talk about Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski was with the Vikings from 2006 to 2018, and he coached every position. He was an assistant. He was an OC. He was a quarterback coach, a tight end coach, a running back coach. He coached everything on offense, and he was highly respected. He was the orchestrator of that one season with Case Keenum that ended up, you know, resulting in a win against the Saints in a absolute dog walking defeat of against the Philadelphia Eagles, at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then he got this job in Cleveland, and I think he's done a great job. Unfortunately, we talked about it before the show, he's tethered to this guy named Deshaun Watson, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that they roll with Winston next year. I think that he's earning that respect right now, and we've talked about it on numerous shows, Matty. The respect that Jameis earns from people is so wildly like this. Like, you just all of a sudden, everyone's just like, yo, Jameis is a motherfucking dude, bro. I want a man. Jameis. And it's like, I haven't watched Hard Knocks yet, but you've watched Hard Knocks. You said it's the same thing. We've heard from taxi drivers in New Orleans. We've heard from fans in New Orleans. We've heard from fans here and people here. And everybody loves Jameis. Everyone wants Jameis to be their quarterback. And if there's one way to get through a Deshaun Watson situation, you know, I don't think Jameis is going to be asking you for $35, $40 million per year. I mean, this guy just wants to play football because he loves it. I mean, this guy's made money. I mean, high end draft pick. I love Jameis. I love Stefanski. I love the Browns. And I just hope they get healthy and we get a little bit more out of them down the stretch. But we're talking about week 14. We're not talking about 2025 just yet. And in 2024, Jerome Ford has been a consistent RB3 the last 3 weeks, mm-hmm. getting between 36 and 65% of the snaps. Nick Chubb, RB1 in week 12, RB2 in week 13. Chubb, not getting the most touches. They got a pretty good dynamic here with Ford and Chubb. Both guys are very playable in fantasy on a weekly basis. I have Jerome Ford at running back 32 this week, kind of right where I think he belongs. I do have Chubb a little bit lower against the Pittsburgh Steelers here, running back 25. I don't anticipate this game being a snow globe like it was 2 weeks ago, but I do anticipate it being another black and blue football game, kind of like we mentioned before. I'll bring up Njoku again just because I brought him up a minute ago. Njoku I got at tight end 3 on the opposite side of the football with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I got Vaiermuth down at tight end 15. I think I like a lot of pieces in this game, but they're going to be grueling pieces outside of like Jameis, outside of like Pickens, outside of probably Njoku. I think everything else is going to be a little bit painful to play just because you're going to have to watch it happen. You're like, man, come on, give me another one. Give me another carry. Give me another opportunity. Can we get to the red zone? Can we please get a Najee Harris carry here? Come on. I want Najee, not Jalen. You feeling me? Like, you're going to be watching this game. You're going to be like, God, there's so many guys out here that this game is so slow. And I think that's just kind of how it's going to unfold. The biggest question, Maddie, and I know I've talked about a lot of stuff here, I'm going to leave it with this. Jerry Jeudy, berserk last week. Tougher matchup this week. He just had the same matchup 2 weeks ago, coming off of a heater, an all-time heater. I got him at receiver 18. What say you?
This is fucking wild. Dude, our rankings are almost exactly the same as throughout you painting the picture you just painted, but I think the exact opposite of the game. And here's where we start. So I do have Jeudy at 18. I think he's the top 20.
Fuck you.
I swear. And I have Jerome Ford at 32. I have Nick Chubb at 27. I have Freiermuth at 16.
Oh, my God.
We're like in lockstep, but I don't think it's going to be a grueling game. I think we're going to see a lot of fantasy points. I love Najee and Warren. I have both inside my top 24. I love Russ this week. But here's what I'm going to say, and this is where you get this nugget. This is why you come to the walkthrough, because you get this galaxy brain talk here. I think the most important player in this game is Cedric Tillman. Not because I think Cedric Tillman will be good for fantasy. I don't really have him ranked that high. But if Cedric Tillman is on the field, that's going to cause the Steelers to have to put a lot of Joey Porter on Cedric Tillman. And here's where I'm going galaxy brain. If Dante Jackson has to be on Judy more often than not. If my guy, Big Beanie, BJ Beanie, is it BJ Beanie? Beanie Bishop is Beanie his name. Bishop. If Beanie Bishop is having to be covering Elijah Moore a lot, those are advantageous matchups. And if that can happen, both players are in my top 20 for the Cuck score this week due to those matchups. And we've seen Jameis Chuck. And what we did see last week was the Steelers' ability to get in a shootout, to not have to slow it down. And when you look at the weather report, 50 degrees and sunny skies in Pittsburgh. So there's not going to be that rough and tumble, cold, freezing game. The boys are going to be out there to play. And I think the talent in this game is going to surpass the reputation of this game. So we are lockstep on the value here. But I guess why you come to the walkthroughs, we just painted two different pictures that can lead to similar results. So I think our process is, I think we climbed the mountain different ways, but we got to the same point. And I think that's important for our listeners to hear so that they can feel confident in what we're saying, that a couple of ways this game can go, we still have faith in the players that are going to be on and in this game. Let's move on, though, to a game that I think has sneaky shootout appeal. I want to hear what you think. But the 2-10 Vegas Raiders head to Tampa Bay to take on the 6-6 Buccaneers. The Bucs are 6.5-point favorites at home. The over-under, though, Cody, 46.5. This game, in terms of how you see these teams in their records, would probably suggest more of like a 42.5, 43 maybe. I think that this 46.5 means when you dive in, and we dive in, we're fantasy guys. There's a lot of fantasy relevant players, and I think they could be poised for some good fantasy days. But let's start with the Vegas side of things, because it all probably hinges on this man's shoulder. AOC, Aiden O'Connell, do we get the guy who throws for over 300 yards again? Or do we get the guy that goes back into a pumpkin and keeps everyone and pulls everyone down?
I don't know if we're going to get the three bill out of him. I don't know if we're going to get the pumpkin. I like the matchup on the surface for the offense. Number two matchup on the Rush Torch matchup tool for quarterbacks does not make me want to say, oh, go play Aiden O'Connell at Tampa. Mm-hmm. Cross country trip. Got him ranked as my second to last quarterback side by side. Drew Lock. Fire him, right? But here's the thing. This is all, and this is only, Brock and Myers. It's just what it is. Last week we got some Sincere McCormick. Should be doing lob. Sincere should McCormick, be. Though, out of UTSA, getting that work in, dog, but should be doing lob. Brock Bowers, man, this guy, eight finishes into the top six at the tight end position. In the games that he didn't do it, 17, 17, 19, 21, still got 5, 7, 10, 7. He still scored you. There's no nuggets here. There's no zeros here for Brock Bowers, who should be, you know, he is in the rookie of the year conversation, but his odds are way down. I mean, it's similar. Him and Bucky Irving are like third and fourth right now on FanDuel for rookie of the year. And behind Jaden and Bo Nix. But Brock Bowers, I mean, this is masterclass in fantasy football. This is masterclass in rookie season. This is everything anybody dreamed of. And then quietly, his counterpart is just Mr. Consistency, Mr. Wide Receiver 2, Jacoby Myers. Every week, you know, he may not be giving you the big, big donk here. He gave you one wide receiver 1 week on the year so far, but he's very, very consistently wide receiver 2 or better since week 3. Only two games where he fell outside of wide receiver 2 territory, wide receiver 44 and 43. But even then, he gave you 8 and 9 fantasy points. So these are the two guys that I'm attaching myself to. I think the only two guys you should be attaching yourself to on the Las Vegas Raiders. Bowers obviously going to be ranked as the overall tight end 1 on the week. I think anybody else, and I'm assuming you did this, but anybody else that doesn't rank Brock Bowers number 1 is just wrong. You can't not, period. Jacoby Myers, I do have him at wide receiver 20, so a little bit high, I guess, towards his seasonal consensus. But he does have, like I said before, a top matchup. It correlates across, obviously, with quarterback to receiver, the number 4 overall matchup on the Rush Horse matchup tool. So I like Jacoby this week. And then on the Tampa Bay side, it's hard not to like Baker Mayfield. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I got Baker Mayfield as my QB 1, 2, 3, and number 4 quarterback in week 14. Baker Mayfield for a multitude of reasons. I'm I haven't seen, again, we're recording this early Thursday morning. I'm not sure what the Bucky Irving injury update looks like going into the week. No practice Wednesday was the last report. I was worried when I saw him go to the locker room on Sunday after the game, after the 150-yard game, with the massive like heating pad or cooling pad on his hip, and it was like rubber banded to his body, and he was limping and shit. And as soon as he got to the locker room, the limp got a little bit worse. I was like, ooh, that does not look good at all. So keeping an eye on that. I think that innately would bump up a Rashad White into a bigger territory while simultaneously making Sean Tucker a very valuable addition as the closer. And then also with a Buck Irving down, I think you see the ball thrown a little bit more earlier. So you're talking Kate Otten, you're talking about Mike Evans, you're talking about Baker Mayfield all getting bumps if there's no Bucky in the lineup.
Well said. I don't really have much to add there about Bowers. Bowers is so good. Bowers is like, if we knew Travis Kelce was coming. And what I mean by that is when he was drafted, he was like a third round pick. He didn't get over 1,000 yards till the third year in the NFL.
Yep.
He was top 10 in fantasy as a rookie and as a sophomore, but it was like a slow descent. We didn't know what he was going to become. We didn't know when he was going to become the best tight end over the next, 10 years. Bowers is like that, but we knew it. We saw it coming. We saw him coming mile away. We knew Brock Bowers was going to be here. When he did, he was going to take over, and he has. That's how good he is. We're getting year three Kelce in the rookie year Bowers, and they're the same kind of player. He's awesome. But I like this game. The 46 over under, I think 46 and a half. I think we might see it being like 47, 47 and a half by kickoff. I think a lot of people like the over here, and I think our rankings reflect it. So this is a game I think if you have any of the Bucks that you've been starting, you're okay doing that. The one hesitation that I have in this entire game is the running game for the Raiders. If Madison's back, how does that look with Madison, McCorley, McCormick, and Amir Abdullah? I don't understand. How bad is Dylan Lobb at practice?
Well, I mean, what did you see his kick return in this game?
It was the most electric play that they've had with a running back all season.
I literally stood up. I saw this kick return. And I was like, all right, mother, it's time.
Put the
motherfucker in. And it's like, psych.
Nope, let's put it in just plotter after plotter after plotter after plotter. Zeus White, don't matter. Like, let's just plot.
This is what happens when you think you're fighting for your job and you don't realize that it's not actually your job. How's that? Is that a good? How's that? This is what happens when you think you're fighting for your job when your job is already
over. Gone. Yeah, it's OVA.
We need to run the football and try to win this thing and make it a tie game. We need to score 20 points. Well, they've done a good job. They've scored 17 or more, every week since the Chiefs game week 8. Kept it tight, but guess what? You're about to go through a whole season and not have a goddamn clue that the guy with like one snap all year could potentially be Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's going to shock. Yeah. It's shocking. I know what you mean. That. You're right. And he had that fumble. That's bad. But I mean, come on. You guys need to try this kid out. Like that kick return was the most explosive. Other than Bowers, probably the most explosive play that they've had just in terms of, oh, shit. Look at that.
Probably about it.
Because Myers isn't, even Trey Turner, like the long touchdowns, like he's good, he's fast, obviously, but like it doesn't wow you. The Dylan Lobb, I thought the Dylan Lobb kick was like the precursor, but no, now Sincere McCormick is going to come plotting his way, just be plotter after plotter after plotter in that game. Let's move on. We could breeze through this one because it's not really all that exciting. The Jacksonville Jaguars take on the divisional foe, the Tennessee Titans, a battle 2-10, 3-9. Tankathon.com game of the week. Titans are 3-point favorites at home. Over under 39.5 is dog water. Mac Jones is at quarterback. Pollard, Ridley, Brian Thomas, Evan Ingram. That's about it, right? We're not playing Travis. Yeah, we're done with ETN, right? We're done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm so past done with Jacksonville. It's not even really funny. The only player that I really care to sprinkle. The thing is if you have ETN, you kind of just got to play him. He hasn't been dog shit, but he has gotten, he's at least entering like running back two area, which is something we haven't seen since like the first month of football. So I guess if you got him, you could do worse. You could definitely do worse than ETN, but I'm not going to tell you to play him at all. Parker Washington, Brian Thomas, Evan Ingram. Those are your three main targets there. Brian Thomas did have a wide receiver 15 week last week. Of course, Parker Washington, as soon as Matt comes in, Parker Washington finally goes off. We've only been waiting on this for, you know, a month and a half since Christian Kirk got hurt. Mm-hmm. Finally happened. Do I have belief it happens again? No. Evan Engram gave you a tight end 15 game last week. He's been pretty consistently in that like 10 to 15, 10 to 20 area at tight end this year. So if you got these guys and you can't get anything better off the waiver wire heading into the weekend, you just kind of got to do what you got to do. On the Tennessee side, I always love Tony Pollard. I where do you have Tony Pollard?
I got him at 12. Great matchup.
Great matchup. I mean, that's – I got him at 15. I mean, I love Tony Pollard. It's hard not to at this point.
Well, I'll just say this. Across the board, I like the Titans players for fantasy this week more than the Jaguars. I like Ridley over Thomas. Really? I like Pollard over Etienne. I like Will Levis over Mac. The only spot that I don't have it ranked that way is Engram and in Okonkwo. That's about the only way I have it on the Jacksonville side. But I don't love it. Like, I don't love the for fantasy could be okay. Like, there could be points scored. Will Levis has been pretty game recently. He's been getting these teams involved. Their offenses look better. So I think it could be a good fantasy game. But, man, this is a definition of a shite tankathon.com game.
Tankathon.com. If Jacksonville wins this game, they'll drop below New England, and the top three picks will be Vegas, Giants, New England. In this game, obviously Tennessee's at 3-9 as well. So if they lost, they'd be 3-10 too. Tankathon.com. I mean, I think what's inevitably going to happen is Raiders, Giants at the top, and New England back in that three hole. That's kind of what I'm anticipating here. So we need a Jacksonville win against Tennessee to get us there.
Oh, I just want the Patriots to be ahead of one of those teams so they can trade back. Anyway, 7-5, Seattle Super Seahawks head to Arizona to play the 6-6 Cardinals, a battle of the most volatile division in football, the NFC West. Cardinals, 2.5-point home favorites, over under 44.5. This looks to me as if the stink of the Cardinals over the last 2 weeks, two games in which we both thought there'd be more high-paced action, have been slow. And one of them was against this Seahawks team. But this time, it's indoors. It's in Arizona. Is this over-under too low for you? Or is this aptly ranked, considering the way these two teams played each other just a couple weeks ago?
I mean, I think it's fine. I get it. I think it's a little bit suppressed. I think that game a couple weeks ago would have been a little more normal and not been a 22-point total. I think this game right now would probably be closer to 48 than it is to 44. So, I think it's probably a touch low. I think you could get a little bit of value taking the higher on that. McBride, for obvious reasons, is tight end two here. I think, Maddie, and you know, this question was posed on our show on Wednesday, the Roster Watch show on Tuesday, was can you drop Tyler Lockett in seasonal leagues? I said yes, because it's pretty apparent what's happening here. It's pretty apparent that our guy, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who nobody should have ever taken out of their top 10 in Dynasty, is officially here. He's officially standing up, you know, pants around his ankles, saying, what are you going to do about it?
keep going. I'm sorry. Just what an image of JSN just being in the locker room, being, I'm fucking here.
What are you going to do about it?
You're like, God damn.
I mean, he's getting targeted on a weekly basis. And even, you know, even when it's not elite output, it's still targets. He's still efficient. You know, he gets targeted 4 times. He catches 4 balls, et cetera. He gets targeted 7 times. He catches 6 balls. Like, I like what Njigba's doing right now. I like the path he's on. He's had at least double-digit fantasy points every week since week 4, with only one game in there that he didn't, and that was week 7. So if you go back to that game just a couple of weeks ago, Njigba was the highest target earner on that team. He had a 46-yard reception, a touchdown, 77 yards. There was Lockett in that game. McBride went off in that game. I do think the Marvin Harrison Jr. Aspect that they told us last week before the game, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. Right? This is the Coach Speak Index right here. Shout out to Coach Speak Index over on X. Gannon came up before the game. He goes, we need to get Marvin Harrison going. They targeted him 12 times. He caught 5 footballs. Cool. Mm-hmm. 60 yards and a touchdown. I think that's enough. I think that's enough to tell us this is what's going to happen. and they're going to continue to push the football to him. I moved him up to wide receiver 14 this week. I'm taking a little bit of an aggressive stance, I believe, on this. Alex has him at 25. I'd like to know where you have him. But also, just to fly in the ointment here, is McBride, like, I know we've given our guy Bowers a ton of flowers here, but is McBride, he's pretty, I don't want to say quietly, but he's kind of low key on like a tear right now. A tear.
Trey McBride is tight end 2.
And it's probably not close.
And I don't even think I'm going to ever change to be Bowers and McBride weekly. I don't see them leaving those two spots ever this year. I mean, the target's insanity. The double-digit targets routinely at tight end, it's unreal. It's value in a PPR league that just simply it sets you aside from everyone else. And, you know, when you look, like, it's the seasonal warp for a guy like McBride, he's just slowly moving up and up and up to the point where he's becoming now a absolute value inside the top 24 overall players, according to his wins over replacement. So he's as valuable as the Kenneth Walkers, the Drake Londons, and he's in that Kittle and Bowers range. Those are the three guys. But Kittle, you know, when you look at his per game, it's a lot low. It's higher, but overall you've had to make replacements because of his injuries. So you could actually knock him down a peg. But McBride, Bowers, they're difference makers at this tight end position. Now, you talked about Marvin Harrison. I'm with you there. I kind of split the difference between you and Alex. I'm at 22. It's a tough matchup, and I don't think he's got another 12 targets coming his way. And if it's 8, is it just 4? Does he not get the touchdown? For me, it's just not banking on it. But, I mean, wide receiver 22 is wide receiver 22. I mean, that's still a – if you got him, you're playing him, you're – okay with it, but I'm just not buying in yet. But if he does it again, if he gets another 12 targets, regardless of how many he catches, he's going to go up my rankings. Marvin Harrison is a guy, yeah, he's knocking on the door to move up my rankings. Where do you have Kyler this week? Because Kyler, to me, he hasn't balled out like I thought he would.
I got him at quarterback 5. I think he's in a fine spot that I like what Kyler's done on the season in totality. He's going to be an interesting process for me in Dynasty to see where I want to plug him in at when the season's over with. Like I've made Dynasty adjustments during the season, but he's one guy that I really haven't quite adjusted on yet. It's kind of been in flows, right? He gives you a big one, mediocre, mediocre, big one, mediocre, big one, mediocre, mediocre, big one, mediocre, mediocre. Is this another big one? The trends would tell you so, but I like him. This week I got him at 5, so I'm kind of betting on a big one here.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting discussion. Kyler Murray versus the 2024 quarterback class, I think, will be a fun talking point when we're in the offseason. But this week, again, I got him a top 10 play. I like him. So this is a game where I think the over-under, I think you smash the over. And I think you play the guys as if you would have 2 weeks ago, if this game, you know, was in Arizona, I think, before that's, you know, slog of a afternoon game. Let's move on, though, to I'm not going to call it my favorite game of the week, but it's definitely my top 3 favorite game of the week. 10-2 Buffalo Bills head to La La Land to take on the 6-6 Rams. Rams are getting just 3.5 points at home. Over under 49.5 is the exact type of number I wanted to see. Daddy likes seeing the over under push 50. The defense of Buffalo has been good, but this is going across country against Sean McVay and the Rams. Is this a game that's going to push the 50 point over under, or are we looking at a defensive slog because both defenses have been a lot better than expected?
Well, I think the number's a touch high. I think you were right there, but the way Buffalo has looked this year, I mean, Buffalo's you talk about being on a torrent pace right now. Buffalo scored 30, 30, 30, 31, 34, 35 the last 6 weeks since the tight Jets win. So I think Buffalo's got the gears oiled. How about that? The gears oiled.
The machine is running well. Because it's been oiled by the gears.
Sure. I don't think the gears can oil something.
The gears have been oiled.
So the machine is running.
Because they're well oiled, the machine is running well.
Bingo.
We got there.
Math. We got there. the Bills have scored 30 plus points in six straight games.
What are you going to say now?
The Rams have played well. The Rams have given up points. They gave up 37 to the Eagles. They scored 28 on New England. They scored 30 on the Vikings in a win. The Rams have been mildly bipolar in the last month and a half. This will be interesting. This is a must-win game for the Rams this year. They're sitting at 6-6 right now in the heart of a divisional race, like we just talked about with their counterparts, Seattle and Arizona. One of these two teams is going to take a loss, and the Rams have an opportunity here to catch a game on one of these two teams. Again, you're looking at divisional wins. You're looking at conference wins for tiebreakers, and this thing's going to come down to just that. So if Arizona loses, they drop to 2-2. The Rams are still 2-1. It's in a good spot. The Rams still kind of control their own destiny in the whole NFC West. This is a spot where I do think Sean McVay and the Rams can nip a Bills team traveling across country that just had a big win against the Niners at home in the snow. Now you travel cross country. You're in the middle of a squeeze where you got the Lions next week on the road as well. The Bills could be caught here with their pants down. Speaking of pants down metaphors, Jackson pants down, telling you come get it. The Bills pants down, bent over the opposite direction, right? The Bills are a good football team. They're not a great football team. And I think the Rams are a team that can take advantage of the Bills in certain situations. I love Puka. I love Cooper. I love Kyron. I think everybody loves those three guys. Stafford this week, got him aligned. Mild quarterback 23 in a tougher matchup, but I still think guys like Puka and Kupp and Kyron can get you there if you're the Rams. Whereas on the Bills side of things, I can't tell you what receiver I want to play. A lot of people will tell you Khalil Shakir, Amari Cooper's out there just, you know, playing with pine cones and sledding down hills and stuff in Buffalo. I don't know what he's doing. James Cook, though, I love me some James Cook, man. Cook is he looks different than he's ever looked before. He looks just different as a running back, as a football player. I took a bull case on him this week, running back 3.
Oh, I love it. I'm at 14. I mean, 13, I thought that was a bull case. So you at Super Saiyan. Where do you have Kyron?
Kyron, I have at 8.
I have at 2. I think this is a big Kyron Williams week. I think this could be a good game, and I think that the way that these teams operate, you know, I think Josh Allen can get you there. I think both running backs can get there. I think the receivers on the Rams can get you there. I have Shakir at 19. I have Amari Cooper a little bit higher than consensus at 30. Where do I have him? 36? Nope. 43. So I did drop him down. But I don't know. You said it last week. This was going to be the coming out part for Amari. Do you think there's any hope that he goes crazy this week?
Cooper?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think indoors? Like he's just a nine target game away from going nuts.
Wait. Well, we talked about this a week ago.
Yeah, that this was going to be the big game for Amari.
What did I tell you, though?
I don't know. It was not going to be good last week because of the snow, but we knew the snow was coming.
No, I think I told you at the end, next week, Amari Cooper will be a wide receiver 1 for me in my rankings.
Yes, did you stand up to that?
I need to fix it.
You guys be a man of your honor? Where are you going to put him?
I'm going to put him at 14, right ahead of Marvin. Put him...
Okay, so... All right, Amari Cooper has been projected in the range of – so let's play quick name game here with Amari Cooper to make sure that you feel good about this. Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins?
Cooper.
Amari Cooper or Deebo Samuel?
Oh, Cooper.
Amari Cooper or Garrett Wilson?
Cooper.
Amari Cooper or let's switch up. Amari Cooper or Najee Harris?
Najee.
Okay. Wide receiver 14, I love it. I'm gonna move him up too. I'm not gonna steal your thunder and make him higher than that. But I'm gonna bump him up.
Fuck it,
dude. Cooper breakup party. He is only an 8 target game from going crazy, right?
Fuck it. Was it? I mean, fuck it. This is Amari Cooper home road splits. Amari Cooper indoor in dome outdoor splits historically have been in favor of this. When you look at his home, what is it? Is it the indoor outdoor or is it the home road? I can't remember which one. I have home road. Can I look indoor outdoor dome here? Dome outdoor retrove. Let's see here. I think it might be indoor outdoor.
Yeah, it would be indoor outdoor. But that used to mean something when he was indoors at home. Now he is not.
I think our guy at Fantasy Points, I'm forgetting his first name. I apologize, brother. Barrett.
Scott Barrett?
Scott Barrett. I want to call him Zach Barrett. Like, that's not fucking right. Don't say Zach. He's always done the Senior Bowl. Appreciate him. Appreciate Fantasy Points. He has, I think, I'm not going to look it up right now because we're doing the show, but he has a post out there with the splits that I'm trying to think of, and I can't think of them offhand.
But give us a quick summary. What do you mean? Like, what are they?
Amari Cooper, nuclear home road difference. Like, the road split is much better than the home split. And then I think there's a factor of indoor being better as well. And you're getting both of those here with the Rams game.
That's right. All right. Love it. Amari Cooper, fire it the fuck up. Next game, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears, 4-8, head out to San Francisco to play the 5-7 49ers. The Niners are 4-point favorites at home. The over-under 44 is not great, but the over-under really hasn't really been accurate. It hasn't been accurately posted over the last couple weeks, and the reason was Caleb Williams has been awesome for fantasy these last 2 weeks. Where do you have Caleb ranked for week number 14?
I think this is a Bears win. I think this is a Bears win.
You get the interim head coach boost this game.
I got Caleb at QB9. I like where he's at. I like where the Bears are at when attacking some of these wide receivers on their own team. Keenan Allen, obviously bald head last week, but looked good playing. DJ Moore is perennially in a spot that we think can vault into a top 10 week. I have him at 28 this week. It's not a great matchup, but I do like, I just can't rank any of these guys actually above 24. I just can't, but I do. I can tell you how I feel about him. I feel the same as I always do. I feel like DJ Moore is still on the brink of a big, big, big game. So you're playing him, even though I don't have him ranked as such. On the Niners side of things, I'm going to be much more reserved in the Debo, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall streets than I think most. And then running back, I think the number one thing in San Francisco is Mr. Garendo. Where do you have Garendo? I have him at 23. Alex has him at 10. I'm not getting aggressive. Alex has also been hyper aggressive with McCaffrey. We got a running back 10 game out of Garendo earlier this year. I'm not going to be hyper aggressive with this thing.
Before I talk about Garendo, I just want to put a pin on a couple of things on the Bears side of it. Caleb, over his last two games, has about 300 passing yards per, 2.5 touchdowns per, and he's averaging right around 40 yards rushing. I got him at running back 8, quarterback 8, so we're kind of lockstep there. But I don't. One thing I want to do is say about DJ Moore. DJ Moore, he's been a different player with Thomas Brown as the offensive coordinator over his last three games, which are the three games in which Thomas Brown took over the play calling responsibilities. 14 fantasy points, 27 fantasy points, 24 fantasy points. And this week, it's his best projected matchup over these last three. He's actually had tough cornerback matchups projected each of the last 3 weeks that he's been good. This week, Rakia Sin is on the table for the 49ers. Top 24 cuck score. First time he's been in the green in that model. So I'm excited about DJ Moore this week. Now, we're talking about a weave here, folks. So let's get back to Isaac Garendo. Isaac Garendo for me, running back 17 for me this week. I'm with you. I'm not ready to anoint him. There's a reason why he was third in the depth chart. And I'm not saying that he's not talented. I'm not saying that if he didn't start week one, he wouldn't be a top 12, top 10 running back in a weekly basis. But what I'm saying is this point of the season, Trent Williams is banged up. Purdy's banged up. They don't have Ayuk. They're running out. They're just running on fumes. And I don't think that's going to mean that Garendo, a third guy on the depth chart type, is just going to be, all right, I'm just going to play him over Josh Jacobs, who's been a fucking stud. I'm not just going to play Garendo over Kenneth Walker because Kenneth Walker hasn't balled out. I'm not playing him over guys like Jahmyr Gibbs, who has been a stud. So I got him at 17. I'm playing Cook. I'm playing Montgomery, Dowdle, and Najee Harris ahead of Garendo.
I think that's right. Like I said, I like Garendo, but I'm not going to get over my skis on him.
Yeah. No, there's a lot to be worried about there. But let me play one last name game before we move on. Are you playing Caleb Williams or his opponent, Brock Purdy, if you have a one quarterback decision to make?
I'm not touching Brock Purdy.
Where do you got him?
24.
Ooh, I got him at 13. I thought I was low. 24. Get miss me with that Brock Purdy in week.
Oh, he's banged 15. Up, man. He hasn't been great. So I'm not gonna just say, oh, he's back. Cool, let's ride. Like, no. What part of San Francisco? No part of San Francisco makes me want that. I know he's been good, but.
And so that is that why you're leaning Pearsall and Debo because of the short stuff? Where do you have Juwan Jennings? Because Juwan Jennings, I've seen him across.
I'm not leaning anybody. I'm telling you, I'm a coward in the Niners. I'm a coward on the Niners.
Me too. My highest ranked guy's at 30. Wide receiver 30.
Yeah, I mean, I got Jennings at 40, Samuel at 27, and Ricky at I think Ricky's at like 48 or 50.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you there. I got all those guys low. So yeah, Purdy. Maybe I'll have to drop Purdy in my ranks too. I'm gonna drop Purdy in my ranks here because 13 is too high. If I feel the same way that you do, and I'm gonna go ahead and move him behind Jameis Winston, the ultimate vibes guy. All right, two more games, Cody. We're in the prime time. Let's wrap this thing. We're already over an hour. Let's land this bird. The Los Angeles Chargers head to play their divisional foes, the Kansas City Jefes, 11-1 versus 8-4. The Chiefs are 4-point favorites at home. The over-under, 43, not all that exciting, but to me, it feels like even if you want to be a bit conservative in your projections, you're playing the players that you have been playing.
Pretty much. I mean, you just have to play everybody in this game. I love Ladd. At the running back position, I think, is weird for the Chargers.
I would say for the whole game is a bit murky.
That's true. I have Pacheco and Kareem Hunt literally back to back. Coincidentally enough, each right ahead of Garendo, which may be wrong. I put them 21-22 side by side ahead of Garendo. I should maybe swap that and just put Garendo ahead of them. I think I'm gonna do that.
That makes sense. It's the Chiefs, folks. If you would have thought, look how good Isaiah Pacheco looked last week. He looked good. And they were like, no, we're not rushing this guy. We have February aspirations. We don't give a fuck about December games. I know it's a divisional game, so maybe we see more touches than we did last week. But I'm nervous to play any running back in this game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the Chargers side of things, I want to lean Gus or want to lean Gus. I got him at 28. Past that, Haskins, Vidal, I'm not touching it. But even Gus, I don't feel the best about. It's a tougher matchup here against the Chiefs. I think this game is going to be a good one. I think there's a chance the Chargers pull this thing out. This is a big, big, big game for this Chargers team and their projection for the rest of the season. The schedule is not exactly tough for them. So there's a stretch here where they can really lock up a high AFC wildcard seed, Chiefs, and then Bucks, Broncos, Pats, Raiders. So it gets progressively easier as the season goes on. So like I said, I like McConkey in this game. McConkey, I have pretty – where do you have McConkey? Because I have Ladd, McConkey, kind of aggressive, I would say. I got him at wide receiver 12.
I got him at 16.
Okay, so I like where that's at. Travis Kelce, the second best weapon I'd say in this game. I got him at tight end 7, tougher matchup. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins earlier. Got him at 34 overall. Hopkins has been mild is maybe the word I'm looking for. Mild. Well, in Kansas City, I think I'm wanting or expecting a little bit more, but he's been solid. He's been fine. He's targeted. He catches the ball. He gets work in. He runs routes. I'd like to see a little more from Xavier Worthy. I know he had an opportunity on a deep corner route last week and got overthrown, which doesn't really happen much for Xavier Worthy. I'd like to see a week from Worthy between now and the regular and the end of the season where he pops up into that top 10 or top 12 again, like he did in week one.
Yeah, for Worthy, for me, he's always just going to be in that boom bust tier. You know, I got Worthy at 39. I never get much higher than that, but I don't get a lot much lower than that because of the big playability. I'm with you. I think in terms of just being excited about Xavier Worthy and what he can look like going forward, we just want one game of like, give him 10 targets, give him like a couple bubble screens. Let's just see like what a game plan looks like as it's being facilitated through Xavier Worthy, as opposed to him just being a weapon they take a couple deep shots on. Because right now, DeAndre Hopkins, you were trying to describe his kind of what he's been. He's been a perfect flex play in, you know, three wide receiver plus a flex or two flex or three flex. He's been awesome. 9 targets last week, only caught 4 of them, still got you 90 yards, gets you over the in the double digits. And, you know, they're going to – Mahomes throws to him in the red zone, throws him in the end zone, throws to him in deep, throws him in double coverage. The game plan, and you could tell the eyes of Mahomes goes Kelce, Hopkins, and then they'll take a deep shot worthy. So I got Hopkins at 36. I think he's a great flex play this week. He's just above the boom bust here in my rankings this week. I could make some arguments to move him up a little bit because guys like Brian Thomas and Juwan Jennings and Debo are still ahead of him. You could make the argument that he should go ahead of them. So maybe that change will be coming in my rankings. Last game of the slate. I think it's going to be a fun Monday Night Football game. Cincinnati Bengals. I know they're 4-8, but they're heading to Jerry's World. They're heading to Arlington to take on the Dallas Cowboys, who are 5-7 coming off of 2 wins. They're in a 2-game winning streak. Cowboys are getting 5.5-point favorites at home, and the over-under are 49.5. The Bengals have been the come-with-me-if-you-want-to-shootout offense in fantasy this season. Indoors against Dallas. I think this might be a fun game. What say you?
Do you? You really think this can be a fun game?
I do.
I think it's going to be a painful game. Because I think the Cowboys are going to win, and I don't think any Cowboy fan, I don't think any Cowboy fan wants to win. Imagine the Cowboys after going on a 5-game losing streak for nearly 2 months, after you know a nice win against the Steelers, just all of a sudden fall off the face of the planet, and then come back and get progressive wins against the Commanders, the Giants, the Bengals, and oh yeah, next week they go to Carolina. So all of a sudden, the Cowboys, who everyone just thought was dead, next week could be 7-7 with a win against the Panthers, which, as you know, Matty Keum, is not good enough in the NFC to do anything with. It's not good enough. You know, you couldn't fill a piss can with piss if you had to with a 7-7 record in the NFC, because you look at it right now, there's a 2-game gap between the teams that are at 500 and the teams that are in the playoffs. And it's a 2-game gap and then a 3-game gap and a 4-game gap for those wild card spots. Mm-hmm. They're in a squirt of piss chance the Dallas Cowboys are making the playoffs. But tell you what they are going to do. They are going to be picking 17 or 18 in the NFL draft. I could tell you that right now today.
And this, worse off, they're going to be retaining Mike McCarthy.
And they're going to probably be retaining Mike McCarthy because they're going to be finishing strong enough. You know, they got a Sunday night game against Tampa after that. They got a divisional game against the Eagles. This team could finish with 9 wins. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we came down the stretch fighting, and that is going to be the ultimate goddamn.
Imagine what we would have had done if we had Dak. Will be the rally cry, and it will make Dallas Cowboys fans hopeful in the offseason, but ultimately fall short again next year.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what actually comes of it, because this is going to be a colossal shit fest. But in this game particularly, I do love Burrow. I love Burrow to just go nuclear in the passing side of things, which kind of contradicts me saying the Dallas is going to win. Me saying Dallas is going to win is like 51-50. That's the rating right there. That's like 51% chance Dallas wins, 50% they lose, right? That's kind of where that comes in. Burrow, I got as QB1 overall on the week. Love it. Love him going nuclear in Dallas. Love Jamar Chase up there as my wide receiver 2 overall. Great juicy matchup. I think anything else in this matchup, Chase Brown is their running back 4. Chase Brown is on like a 100-yard heater right now for overall yards. His prop every single week on like Underdog and Prize Picks and stuff is like 98.5 yards rushing plus receiving. And this guy somehow sometimes finds the end zone. I think what we're getting from Chase Brown is kind of an unexpected great addition to the fantasy landscape, where this guy is just all of a sudden an every down, you know, he's basically your Kyren Williams. He's basically a new Kyren Williams added to the fold. Top 8 each of the last 4 weeks.
Chet, I'm calling this now. This is my dynasty offseason take that I'm making before Christmas. Chase Brown will be the single most polarizing fantasy asset in the offseason, because it will be split right down 50-50. Half of the people are going to be, keep him, he's a stud, look how good he was. The other half will be saying, they drafted running back X in round 5, and he's better, and da-da-da-da, and Brown's never been that good, and da-da-da-da-da. And this will be he will be on so many. I'm planting my flag on Chase Brown, or the biggest sell of the offseason. He will be possibly pushing the most thumbnails in the offseason for Dynasty content.
I think you're right. I think it's just
because he's been so fucking good. I mean, he's been. You want to talk about league winner? This is the true-to-form league-winning type player. Guy, doesn't matter if matchup, doesn't matter how he gets there. Passing work, groundwork, goal line work, doesn't matter. I mean, last week he had that big play getting tackled at the one. They went right back to him. That is the quintessential sign that your running back fucks. If he has a catch that takes him down to the one, and they give it right back to him for the touchdown. That's a guy who smashes. But this is also the guy who fumbled against Aaron in the Senior Bowl and got demolished by his safety twin brother and was high on your kitty cat rankings and was pushed aside and was just a one-trick pony being fast. So this guy will be, of course I want Dennis Martinez over him. I don't care if they took him in the sixth round. It's going to be that. But, damn, in 2024, Chase Brown is a locked-in top five-ish running back week to week.
What about Rico?
I got Rico at 15.
All right. I got him 18. I think it's a good spot.
He's just been, I mean, the volume is you can't argue the volume, and it's how he gets there kind of matters. And that's really just where it is. But in that range, 15, 18, it's a huge grouping of those type of players, but I like him. He's clearly the running back one. And then CD Lamb, I've met wide receiver 5, but
wow.
He breaks the cuck score this week.
Really?
He breaks it. I mean, he is number one with a bullet, almost 20 points higher than the number two guy. He is projected to destroy Cam Taylor-Britt in this Bengals secondary.
He hasn't been a wide receiver one since week 8.
Right. But he's had double-digit targets multiple times with Cooper Rush, and he's just good. You give him 12. This is what I said before when I was trying to figure out how we should handle CeeDee Lamb rest of season. If he's going to get the volume, I don't care how it looks. It's going to get you at a base level of 15 fantasy points with a ceiling that we haven't seen yet. And I think we might see that ceiling game on Monday night. He's got the added rest. Coach came out right after that game and said that CeeDee Lamb was banged up. He's been banged up, but we're 100% faithful he's going to play. He's gone from Thursday to Monday, Uber rest, mini bye. He's going to be ready to rock and roll.
Fair play. Let's ride with it.
I also like, as a sleeper this week, if you're just totally port with the buys, I don't mind dipping your toes in a little Brandon Cooks waters.
I don't know if I'm ready. I got him at 38, but that's technically, I guess, fringe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not what we're hoping to build our house off, but you have him a lot higher than I do. So I guess you agree. He was a guy who was playing as a deep play, but yeah, that's it. And that's actually going to be the episode of the walkthrough. Thank you guys so much for rocking with us for over an hour and 20 minutes. You guys are the best. I'm Matty Kiwoom. He's Cody Carpentier. You can find us on X at Matty Kiwoom, at Cody Carpentier. You can find our work at SouthHarmonFF.com. Be there or be square. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Make sure you're listening to all the shows here on the podcast network, America's Game, Grinding the Edge, 40 Chess. We got it here over at the South Harmon Podcast Network. And last but not least, head over to YouTube, South Harmon FF on YouTube, and take in all our live streams, our videos. We're bringing out the content in the most important time of the fantasy season, and we got you here. All covered at South Harmon. He's Cody. I'm Matty Kiwoom. Thank you for joining us for the walkthrough, and we'll see you for next week's Week 15 walkthrough. Peace.